Welcome to the You've Got to Read This podcast, which is part of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library Digital Branch. In these recordings, we discuss books we think you're really going to want to check out. For this episode, our theme will be Mystery and Mayhem. I'm Cameron, a librarian at University City Regional Library, and I will be discussing Never Coming Back by Tim Weaver.
I'm Christy, a children's librarian at Morrison Regional Library, and I'm going to talk about The Cuckoo's Calling by Robert Galbraith.
And I'm Kate at the University City Regional Library, and I'm going to be talking about Dick Francis's The Refusal by Felix Francis. You can find these titles and more through the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library Catalog. Go to cmlibrary.org and choose the green catalog button.
So the book I'm going to discuss is Never Coming Back by Tim Weaver. And Tim Weaver he's from the United Kingdom. And the book is about a family that vanishes into thin air without a trace. The police have no leads. And Emily, the main character, she turns to her former boyfriend, who is David Raker. He's a missing persons investigator. And he tries to track down the family down. And this is the beginning of this series. And it's the U.S. debut of this U.K. author. And it really brings a lot of thrills. And it's that classic. It's the classic kind of cat and mouse chase where the detective is hunting down to see if he can put all of the clues together to find the killer and what's happened to this family. And it really is about how could a family of four just vanish without a trace? That's really what the lingering question is. And is there more to the story? And of course there is. And it's really interesting because it goes back and forth between this really small town in the UK off the coast of England to the glitz of Las Vegas, so it kind of incorporates elements of the UK and the US, and it really is it's a great thriller. It keeps you guessing until the very last sentence.
That does sound intriguing. The last sentence.
Yes.
Yeah. So what part of England, that little small town?
I believe it's in Cornwall.
I love Cornwall.
Really?
Yeah, my grandfather's from there, actually.
Along the coast?
Yeah, along the coast. Polzeath is where they're from, It's near. Like St. Isaac and some of the it's beautiful coastline for sure.
My last name is taken from a place in Cornwall. In fact, it's a famous well where if you put your hand in and you told the truth, nothing would happen. But if you spoke a lie, the water would bubble.
Ooh.
It's part of Arthurian legend.
So you said it spans quite a ways from parts of Cornwall to Las Vegas, did you say?
Yes, there's connections to Las Vegas. And
wow. Now you said this is also the first in the series.
Mm-hmm. The David Raker series.
I gotcha. Does this kind of just introduce him, or is this an ongoing plot?
It introduces the character, and much like a lot of the Scandinavian authors, have been really popular in the UK, but then are just now, over the past, I think, 4 or 5 years, have been introduced into the U.S. market. So this falls into that category of the debut of this author in the U.S.
So they made it big in their home country, but now they're coming to America.
Exactly, yes.
That's intimidating for writers to do. How did you end up picking this one up?
The cover looked interesting. You know, the cover does sell a book often.
Those marketing people, they know what they're doing.
Exactly, yes. Where it's the coastline of England, and it's kind of mysterious or eerie. And so I just picked it up and thought it looked like a good mystery.
Awesome. So on the blood and gut scale, where 5 is like an abattoir and 1 is a cozy mystery, where would you rate this?
I would say probably a 3. Okay. It's not really gory, but there are elements of violence and blood.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
And it's also not classified as a mystery in our library system. It's more of a thriller, but I think of it as a mystery. So you'll find it in general fiction.
Good to know.
Yeah, good to know.
Following the same pattern, actually, my book takes place in England as well, mostly in Oxfordshire and like London and a little bit of Manchester, which is where a lot of my family lives now. So that was part of what intrigued me about it. Dick Francis died some time ago, but his son is carrying on his legacy. And while mysteries are not usually my thing, I had a long car ride with my dad and mysteries. Dick Francis is about the only author my dad reads. So, if you want an endorsement, The man who does not read reads these books, okay? And so it's actually, it is part of a series. It continues with Sid, who is an investigator. He retired a few years back because he'd been through a lot. He now had a new wife and a new baby, and he'd lost his hand, and he decided he had had enough. A friend begs him to investigate some races, horse racing, that don't seem to be adding up right, and shortly thereafter turns up dead. And so Sid is kind of pulled back into this world of mystery and gambling and mobsters, and it's quite a ride for sure.
Sounds like he's already lost a lot.
He's already lost a lot, yes. But he treats it with good humor, and so there's still fun in it as well, and excitement, of course. There are things going on, and I, of course, don't want to give the plot away, but he does get himself tangled in quite a net in the course of his poking around the stables, so to speak.
What do you think is the predominant appeal for most readers of Dick Francis? Is it, I know horse racing, a lot of people have read his mysteries because of the horse racing element, but is it the setting, or is it the character?
For me, again, I mentioned the setting was kind of appealing to me because of my family ties. As far as the stories themselves, they're exciting. You're pulling for the everyman kind of guy. He's not got any special powers or super memory, or, you know, he's not Sherlock. He's just a hardworking investigator with a good attitude and a love for his family. And, I mean, he's clever for sure, and he does have to outsmart his opponents because he will never be able to overpower them. And there's a lot of family ties as well, for sure.
So on the gore scale, yeah, mentioned before,
sure,
5 to 1.
Still probably around the same, around the 3. There's definitely violence, and there is an arson in the story, which is quite scary for a number of reasons. But overall, it's not going to go into any depth for the, like, your injuries or problems or violence in general.
So how many are in that series by Dick Francis, do you know?
This was the 5th, but I believe there is at least another one coming soon. So maybe 6 or 7 at this point.
And his son is writing those.
Yes, his son is taking up the legacy where Dick Francis left off. And he's doing quite a good job, I have to say. I'm normally into my romance novels and my sci-fi adventures, and this is very down to earth, very much the mystery, but I enjoyed it very much.
How does it tie back into the original series of Dick Francis?
It's the same main character.
Okay.
It's Sid, following that same, the horse racing and him being involved in keeping things honest. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be talking about Cuckoo's Calling by Robert Galbraith. I'm putting those in quotation marks because guess what? It's really J.K. Rowling.
It was quite a stir when that happened, like came out a couple of years ago.
Yes, I remember. I was working on the desk on Saturday. The news broke late Saturday afternoon. And by Monday morning, all of the books in the system were on hold. And the library had to order a whole bunch more in. They'd been doing moderately well. We had, I'd say, probably 10 or 12 copies in the system, but that was not going to meet the sudden flood of demand. If you've read J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series, one of the things that you will know about how she writes is that she's excellent at making characters that you really care about, and she's really good at world building and making you feel like you're in another place entirely. And one of the things that she does in this book very excellently are the characters. So the main character's name is Cormoran Strike, and he gets called Cameron all the time by people, just so you know. But his name is Cormoran, and it's after a giant, and he is a giant of a man. He worked in the military, the UK, and he was over in Afghanistan, and he lost a leg. So
yeah,
another tie with your book where...
Yeah, I was just thinking that. This is the first one in that series, right?
It is.
Yeah,
he lost it well before he started his detective agency.
Yes.
So he was working for military police doing detective work with them. He lost his leg in Afghanistan when a roadside bomb blew up the vehicle he was in. He is the son of a famous musician and a super groupie.
Ooh.
And his mother was apparently an affair. So he's the illegitimate son. star. And he doesn't want to have anything to do with his famous father. So he's trying to live without using his father's money or influence or power in any way. He doesn't appreciate it. And he is kind of struggling to get his private detective business off the ground now that he's out of the military. And he asked for a temp to help, but he's not sure exactly how he's going to pay them. And he thought he had already canceled the temp contract with the agency, but in comes Robin Ellicott. And thank goodness for Robin, because she is intelligent and efficient. And the first day that she arrives, they get a famous client, or a client who is the relative of a famous person who has been murdered. Everybody else thinks that she has died by suicide, but her brother comes to strike, telling him that he believes it's murder. He's willing to pay quite handsomely, and Strike really needs that money. So he's willing to investigate, and he and Robin begin investigating this apparent suicide and digging into this famous supermodel's death. So the series, that's the first book in the series, Cuckoo's Calling, and the whole series has been made into a TV show series that you can watch, I believe, through Amazon Prime. And they have done the first three books in this series, and Lethal White, which is the most recent one that just came out, book four, they're also going to be making that into, it's like one of those long episodes where there's like two or three long episodes, and that's the whole book. So it's basically like watching a 4 or 5 hour movie.
Hey, if they include all the stuff from the book, I will watch however long they want me to watch.
Yeah, no kidding. As long as the actors are good, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I believe they get a really good character to play Cormoran, because he's supposed to be really big, and of course he has lost a leg, so I'm interested to see. I haven't got to see the series yet. My friend has said that she might come over and we can watch it on her account someday, some weekend, long weekend. We'll come and hang out and watch it together.
Well, fingers crossed you get to see the show, because I know it's always nice to get to have, even if you don't end up, just in general, not necessarily the specific book, but I know one of the fun things for me is kind of comparing them and breaking them down, and where the differences are and what changes I like and what changes I don't.
How does the series evolve into the parts?
So like the first book, I would say the gruesome details are mild, you know, it's pretty mild to moderate. So like I'd say 3 on our gore scale. But I would say that the following books, like the second one, Silkworm, is pretty gruesome. There's some really gruesome aspects on that. Then Career of Evil gets even darker. So be prepared if you're going to start this series that it gets darker. I would say that the fourth book, Lethal White, takes it back almost all the way back to the first book as far as level of gore and details, and it's a lot more tolerable for those that might have been scared off by book 2 or especially 3. But the characters are amazing. You love these people, and they feel very real.
I love a good flawed character.
Yeah.
Somebody who's not a superhero. Although I love my superheroes too, especially if they have flaws.
Yeah. No, he's got, he's mildly Holmesian, but not super. So, you know, he's got a really good memory for names and details. He can remember details and names very well. And other people think it's kind of weird and almost creepy how he can remember if they mention that they have a cousin that worked down in Surrey this one time. He's like, and your cousin, you know, Annabeth, that she works in Surrey. And they're like, how did you know that? You told me. He remembers all those things. Yeah.
So do you think, you said you see the characters really coming through, plot-wise, is it the same kind of intricacies and depth that you get in the later Harry Potter series?
I would say that there's definitely some red herrings thrown in there. There's a lot of interviews where small details really matter. Listening to it is also great, because the reader on the audiobooks does the accents amazingly well. I really like the reader. If you want to listen to these on audio, I do recommend that as well. The intricate plotting, all of these different interviews, as somebody can, she'll write just like, and the character like moved their arms a certain way, and you'll be like, oh, they're lying. So very small details do turn out to be important. These do hold up well to rereading because of those.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm listening to them on audio right now with my 19-year-old. And it's really hard sometimes for me to be like, oh my gosh, that was so important. Did you catch that? Because I don't want to give it away too much.
No, you can't spoil it for them if it's their first listen through.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, thank you for joining us today for You've Got to Read This. You can find the titles we talked about, Never Coming Back by Tim Weaver, Dick Francis's Refusal, and The Cuckoo's Calling by Robert Galbraith. You can go to the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library catalog, cmlibrary.org, and choose the green catalog button. You can search by title, author, or keyword, and you'll see all of the available formats, print, ebook, audiobooks, e-audiobooks. If it's not at your branch, you can place a hold to have it sent there.
Again, thank you for joining us for You've Got to Read This. We hope we've given you a good discussion and some ideas for new material to read. Look for upcoming episodes on the digital branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Scroll down and click Listen Now for You've Got to Read This. Please visit our website at cmlibrary.org. Don't forget to check out our catalog and resource pages. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Hashtag CM Library and @CM Library.